Welcome back, creeps.
Hey, y'all.
Hope you're all having a fantastic week.
Hope you have full bellies and warm blankets.
Like us.
Yeah.
I actually just had the big, like, okay, so it was porridge, like oatmeal, but like Dulce knows how much I put in my oatmeal. Like, it's not even really oatmeal anymore.
Yeah, no, it's like an amalgamation of breakfast and like items.
Yeah, it's just,
it's like a brunch in a bowl.
Basically, yeah, we've got, oh, this is so exciting. I can't wait to tell you all. No, it's like fucking, so yeah, oatmeal, bunch of strawberries, bananas, blueberries, sunflower seeds, flax seeds, some vegan protein today.
Proats.
And then to top it all off, about 8 years worth of peanut butter. So fucking good. And lots of coffee. Anyway, apologies for the delay this week. But as usual, we just had a fucking mental week, didn't we?
We like literally redid the bathroom.
Yeah, we redid our bathroom. Like, not like we painted it, we rewired it.
New cabinets. Reorganized the whole damn thing.
Yeah. And we're not done yet. It's almost finished. We just have to do like the finishing touches. And so that was our technical difficulties yesterday.
Oh, basically. And then we had a birthday party yesterday. My niece is turning 17. We love her very much. Therefore, we invest a lot of time.
Yeah.
Together with the family.
And so that plus three jobs was just, you know.
Yeah, you literally had three jobs at one point.
Well, no. I'm saying like your job, my job, and my other job. But yeah. Have no fear. I know. I only have one job currently, so that's good.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're here with a lovely titillating tales of true terror. And our first email comes from Carl. Carl, I have not read this email yet. We got this last month, almost a month ago today, actually. I did not realize that. But your email address has caught my attention. I want to know more about that. Anyway, he says, good morning.
Good morning.
I very much enjoy your podcast. A little smiley face. Thank you very much. You two work very well together and enjoy what you do. We do. Listening to Titillating Tales of True Terror 19. Jesus Christ, have we had that many?
Has it been?
I suppose. I don't know. And have my own, oh, that's normal, ghost story. Love it. So in late 1980, I met a friend and we became very close. We are still friends. I am the gunkle to two of his kids.
Nice.
Pretty sure that's gay uncle, right?
Probably.
Carl. I love you, dude. One time he told me about his uncle Ray, not his real name, a very close friend of his dad, who was killed in a motorcycle accident while working in Saudi Arabia back in the early 70s. My friend described Uncle Ray as tall and always wore a duster-type long coat and soft leather hat. I have always pictured, probably wildly inaccurately, Carl McCoy from The Fields of Nephilim. Fields of the Nephilim? Hold on, I have to look that up right now. Okay, so the Fields of the Nephilim is a gothic rock band from England. I need to look into this. This guy looks fucking badass, honestly. And the first thing when you look at, search in Fields of Nephilim, the first thing that comes up when you search Fields of the Nephilim is police found 13 pounds of cocaine.
Wowzers.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the story. Uncle Ray had been seen several times checking in on my friend over the years. Several members of his family had reported seeing a tall figure wearing a long coat and soft leather hat, often standing in my friend's room late at night. He never interacted, said, or did anything. Never said or did anything. Just watched for a while and then disappeared. In the middle of the night, his new wife wakes up and sees a tall, dark figure at the foot of the bed. The poor girl screams. A lot, apparently.
Uh-oh.
Wakes up the whole house. When she calms down, she describes what she saw. The family's reaction was pretty much, oh, that's just Uncle Ray.
Nice.
She was then told about Uncle Ray and that he would occasionally drop by. Perfectly normal thing.
Wow.
I never saw him, but it is an interesting story. Thank you for your podcast, Carl.
Thank you for the lovely email, Carl.
That was bitching. Yeah, that took us on a whole little run. First of all, get back to us in regards to this email address. I will be emailing you later on today. But that's a cool email address. And I love that you're a gunkle.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite thing in the world. I hope to be one day. Anyway. So yeah, and then aside from that, so lately, I think we spoke about it on the last one. So the next story is actually Dulce's uncle's story.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we were in Dallas a couple of weeks ago, I think we spoke about that. We were up there visiting the family. And of course, we started talking about ghost stories. So, and what was even cooler was that it was me and your uncle and your three cousins. He's got three sons. And we're all sitting around, and his English wasn't perfect, so they were like helping translate this ghost story from Spanish to English. And
yeah.
It was just like, this is fucking sick. So first of all, he tells us about his house in Mexico where he grew up. And he was like, as a child, he would hear like a lot of the different things, but specifically marbles rolling around the floor. And it was just a known thing. Like all the neighbors knew that the house was haunted and stuff like that. The lights would like turn on and off themselves. And funnily enough, like morbidly funny, the dude who wired the house, like the electrician, died before the job was complete. So the mom would literally say, oh, no, that's just Mr. So-and-so coming back to finish wiring.
To finish the job.
Yeah. That I never paid him for. No. So yeah, that was just kind of cute. But then he said that his mom actually had lost a set of twins, two boys. And so she would say, oh, the marbles, it's your brother's playing. Like, again, like, don't worry about it. And he was nervous, like, as a child, because he would hear this shit and see the lights coming on and off and stuff. But his brother sounds like kind of a jerk, honestly. And he was like, that's it. Come on, we're going to go find these ghosts tonight.
Oh,
we're going to go for it.
Oh, my God.
And so they went and they, like, hunted down the sounds of these marbles. And when they would go in, like, they'd burst into a room where they had just heard it. And then they would hear it come from the other side of the house.
Wow.
And he said it wasn't a big house or anything, but it had two stories.
Yeah.
And so they would just hear it, like, somewhere else. And then they would go there and it would be back where they had heard it originally.
Oh, like, okay.
Yeah.
Like it's toying with him.
Yeah. But then when he got older, he said he came home one night. And I think he had been, like, he was kind of drunk. He was, like, I'm assuming, like, late teens, early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And he came into the house, and I guess there was a lot of people staying there. And he picked up this little boy who had gotten out of bed, and he put him back into bed and then went back to sleep. There was no little boy.
Oh.
Like, I think he was saying, like, when he woke up the next morning, there was no little boy there.
Yeah.
So he just was like, obviously was like, what the fuck? But just said, well, I guess it was just my little brother.
And
just like the family thing just like clicked in. He just picked him up and put him back into bed. I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah.
But the next story he told us.
Like his instinct, you know, to put him back in bed.
Yeah, like he just thought, oh, it's just one of the kids up, blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that was a particularly sweet story.
Speaks to his character. He's a really good dad.
Oh, you could tell, like, this.
Loves his fucking kids.
Yeah, so, this is, like, little sidetrack here, but we went to the house. I had only met one of the sons, and I had briefly met him and your auntie.
At our wedding, yeah.
At our wedding, but that was it. They, like, literally, all of them, I literally felt like I had been there my whole fucking life.
Yeah.
Like, they just absorbed me into their little pack. And so then, like, the next day before we left, when we were telling these stories, like, he just said, like, come on, sit out here. And we were all five of us, me, the three sons, and him, just sitting in the garage with the door open, like, in the rain, and just telling ghost stories as if I had just been there the entire time. Like, it was really nice. And this was after the three sons had gone out of their way to bring us like to the other side of town just to go to a vegan restaurant so I would have a good breakfast. Like,
yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting. Like, we've literally never told them that you were vegan. I think my mom probably like just
mentioned, like, it in passing.
Yeah, mentioned it in passing. And when we got there, they're like, oh, we have these black bean burgers for you, and we're gonna cook them right now for you now.
Yeah,
like while like my uncle came home with like food, like takeout, and they were already turning on the stove and putting the black bean burgers before they even mentioned it to my to you.
Yeah.
That they were gonna feed you that.
Yeah, because the most obnoxious thing about being vegan is constantly being like, oh, I can't eat that because I'm vegan.
Yeah.
And just saying it repeatedly. So it was really nice because I do feel like a pain in the ass. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But either way.
And my aunt was like, oh, I'm so annoyed that we didn't have more vegan options in the fridge. But next time that he comes over, we're going to have even more vegan options.
Yeah, we were literally there for like 24 hours or something. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we went out for lunch with friends or for dinner with friends before. Anyway, all that to say, we were sitting in the garage telling ghost stories and he tells this fucking story. So again, he was in Mexico in his late teens, early 20s, and there was him and four other people squeezed into the back of this Volkswagen Beetle that didn't have a passenger seat. So there was the driver plus four squeezed onto the back bench in this Volkswagen, and they're driving up there. He said they were drinking, like partying, but they just had one box of beer between the five of them, and that was sitting where the passenger seat would be. So they're driving up to this, I guess, like lookout point or whatever. It's a cave in the hills. And he's like, it's up country roads and there's a big parking lot. And that's just where you go to, I guess, just get away from like the adults or whatever and go drinking and party. Yeah. So anyway, they're like going up these sketchy, windy roads, no lights, no nothing. And they drive past this dude with like an old fashioned like mail sack or coal sack over his back just walking, and they're like, oh shit, like it's dangerous, like let's pull over and see where he needs to go and we can help him. So they do. Now bearing in mind all five of them are squeezed into this tiny little car, and they pull over and they're like, hey man, where are you going? And then the next thing they know, they're all at the car park partying, drinking, dancing, singing songs, whatever. And then he said it was like all of a sudden one of them just like woke up or something, even though they were all standing there drinking and stuff,
like just became self-aware.
Yeah, just became present, I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, wait a minute, what about the dude, like where is he? And then all of them were like, hold on, what just happened? And the last thing that they remember is pulling over and offering this dude a lift, and then they were just there. And when they all came to this conclusion that they were just missing this time,
mm-hmm,
they all like party over. That was it. Like everybody back in the car. Like none of this makes sense. Something
the mood
feels
is gone.
Weird. Yeah. And so they were like, even like logistically, how could we have fit another fucking person? We were already over max capacity in this tiny little car. And so they're like, well, shit, maybe we dropped them off at a house on the way or something. Like, let's just go slowly back down the hill. We can see if we can see him or the house. Nothing. No buildings, no lights, no campfires, no nothing. And still to this day, he's like, if I call any of these people that were in that car that night, they're all going to say the same thing. Yeah, we remember the dude, but we don't know what happened after that.
Yeah.
I was just like, what the fuck, man?
Love that.
One of the best stories I've ever heard. Not going to lie. It was a fantastic story. So anyway, moving on, I think you have a story lined up.
Yes. Yes, I do. Sorry, I was looking up what a gunkle was. I just wanted to make sure it was a gay uncle.
I just make sure we're not, like, offending.
Like, maybe it's, like, a godfather / uncle. I don't know. And then we're, like, calling this guy gay when he's not.
Yeah. Yikes.
Anyways.
I'm going to throw a little trigger warning here for Dulce's story right now because it gets dark real quick.
Yep.
And it's some of that good real life horror.
This is from a user whose username has been deleted.
Mm.
A few years ago, I was walking through the woods off the beaten track a bit, and I smelt this really overpowering sweet smell. Being nosy, I pulled back the undergrowth to have a look and found a dead body. The guy had clearly been there a while and wasn't looking great. All swollen and green and black with various runny bits. The local wildlife had also been dining well for a few days. I called the police, who told me to wait with the body until they arrived. Being in the middle of nowhere, it took a while for them to arrive and it got dark. And I was just sitting there in the dark with him for a long time.
Ugh.
It turned out he had committed suicide. For a long time afterwards, I had dreams about him, and he would talk to me, and not nice things. Mainly about how he was angry I had disturbed his resting place, and he wanted me to kill myself.
Jesus.
Probably just my imagination, but all pretty disturbing at the time. He still turns up in my dreams from time to time, and no doubt will be tonight after typing this. Sarah Yep commented, "Holy shit, sweet smell." And he replied, "Difficult to describe, sort of like rotting lamb. People say that a rotting body has a very distinctive smell, and I can see what they mean. Whiskey made me do it," replied. "I used to do suicide and murder cleanup. The thing that gets you about it is the smell. It's not that it's that bad. It's just that it's not as revolting as you would expect. It makes it worse. That sickly sweet aroma of dead human. Prosopagnosia soap," replied, "yeah, rotting meat has a very sweet, pungent smell. It's almost food-like in a way, like curry or sweet and sour or something." And Garden Hero thoughtfully replied, "Quite a traumatic experience to have to sit there in the darkness alone with a stranger's body like that. Maybe you suffered from some PTSD. Whatever it is, if it still bothers you, I'm sure talking it out with someone would help."
Absolutely. What a fucking horrific story.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing the mood down like that. No, that is a terrifying story, though. I have often thought about that. Like, what if... like, what would you do? Because, look, we deal in death, basically. You know what I mean? Like, all of our stories... even the funnier ones have to start from a tragic ending, typically, or something like that. You know what I mean? And I was saying this to a cousin of mine when we went home. It's like, sometimes the horror stuff gets not overbearing or anything, but you just need a change. You're like, let me just watch The Office or something. Like,
yeah,
you know, but like, we did so many murder stories, blah, blah, blah. But when you're actually put in the presence of something like that, you still react, like your human nature takes over and you're scared.
Yeah.
You know, you're off put. Like, the perfect example is that time when I heard somebody jumping from or falling from my apartment building. And I reacted like I was shook.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's your body's natural response to like sort of save you. Like, it's an instinct to try to save you, right? So it's like, okay, let me, your brain is like, let me get this motherfucker in gear
and get out of here
so that he understands that he's in danger. So let me instill the, let me turn on the fear now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Or I can't imagine what his body went through, like the sort of roller coaster of emotions
and adrenaline,
and his brain was like, his thoughts were probably racing just sitting there with a dead body.
Yeah, no, that's terrifying. You definitely need to go and get counseling of some sort.
Or like, even just like me, for myself, like if I was in that, I first of all, I can't imagine what that's like. But I can't help but think that if I was there sitting with the dead body, that I would probably be scared that it would get up, even though it's probably improbable. But because I fear, my body's telling me to be scared, one of my fears that it's probably going to turn on is zombie.
You know what I mean? Yeah, as silly as it might sound, but I have, in the presence of dead bodies, it is because they just look like sleeping people. Like, it's just a really hard thing for your brain to comprehend.
Probably. Yeah, yeah.
So you are expecting, as respectful as you might be trying to be, there's always that like weird fear thing.
Yeah, because like, I've been to like open casket funerals and, and that's one of the things, because they look like they're sleeping.
Yeah.
It looks like any small noise is going to wake them up and they'll be like, oh, hey, you know, like,
yeah, oh, what are shit, you doing? I'm good now. Like, yeah.
Yeah, like, why is everyone here? Yeah. Like, why? It's, you know, like,
so
I don't know.
Traumatic, anyway, to say the least. That story is probably pretty high up there on one of my worst fears, I think.
Yeah, the part that stuck with me is that the guy the person that whiskey made me do it when he said, it's not that it's that bad. It's just that it's not as revolting as you would expect. And that's what makes it worse.
Yeah.
Is that it's not as bad as you would expect.
Terrifying.
And it's kind of sweet. You know what I mean? And you like kind of in your brain correlate sweet with something positive. Something like
probably just such a mind fuck, like
something that you'd probably want to eat. And then you smell that off a dead body. It's just that's makes it even more worse. Like it makes it worse.
Harder to digest.
Exactly. Mentally.
All right. Well, the next story is actually another real life horror, not paranormal. And this is posted by former_sky9608 called "I was almost kidnapped or murdered in my neighborhood while walking." So to preface this post, I was a 21-year-old male, 6'2", 240 pounds. Not a small or weak-looking guy. I was wanting to lose some weight for a while now and had been going on walks for a bit, sometimes during the evening or very late at night. It was Florida, and it gets hot unless it's nighttime. Plus, like I said, I'm a big dude, I got nothing to worry about. Or so I thought. One fateful night, I decided to go out walking around my neighborhood around 3 a.m. in like a big puffy jacket and black pants. Feel like in this situation, I would be the creepy person someone would be scared of. And yeah, I get that. My walk was going good as usual, and I was actually getting close to the end of it. Then this old school wood panel car passes by and goes into a driveway somewhat in front of me. I barely think anything of it. Always like 3 or 6 cars go by on one of these late night excursions. What happens next is what unsettled me. This fucking van pulls out of the driveway with its lights off after I pass by the driveway. Luckily, I wasn't listening to any music or else I wouldn't have heard it. The van then proceeds to pull out and drive towards me and stops right in front of me. At this point, I know I don't want to end up like some kind of horror movie character, so I book it in the opposite direction. I go down an off-branching street and keep going down these random streets to give me as much time as possible. I end up hiding in some random-ass bushes and somebody in someone's yard and staying there for a little bit. I wanted to text my mom, but I was scared and didn't want the light on my phone to give me away. So I watch for any sign of them. Nothing for 5 minutes. Just as you think the coast is clear, boom. I hear a car coming down the street and it's those fucks, but with their lights turned on this time. I'm pretty well hidden in these bushes right against someone's house, so they just go by. But my heart is beating so fast and I'm terrified in this moment. I wait a little bit more till I truly believe the coast is clear and get back to my house. I wake up my mom and we call the cops and I give them as much info as possible. They said they would patrol the neighborhood and I don't hear anything more. I just can't help but think about that event and what their motives were. I always try to debunk shit like that, but all their actions pointed towards wanting to do something to me. But what did they want to do? I'm not a pretty young lady. I'm a very large, menacing-looking dude. My neighborhood is not even nice enough to rob. Very just middle class. And what the fuck am I going to have on me while walking at 2 a.m.? So I just can't help but think. Maybe they didn't want to kidnap me or mug me, but kill me. It freaks me out to this day. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I pictured all of that in my neighborhood from back home as well. It was like the side streets that he was running down.
It sounds like it would be, honestly.
Yeah.
Those kind of,
But the thing about that is, like, this is why I tell people to listen to Let's Not Meet as well. It's like, you don't have to be the tiny little cheerleader girl, or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like the
stereotype.
The stereotype of the main character in a horror movie.
Yeah.
You don't have to be that. It could literally be anyone.
Literally anybody. And the other thing that he said as well, because I used to do this when I was a kid, like I'd be walking home late at night with like my hood up and like whatever. And if I saw a lady or like an older person coming toward, I'd like cross the street because I'd be in my head thinking, oh God, I don't want to look scary.
Yeah, yeah. See, because there's all kinds of flavors of psycho out there who just, maybe there were those psychos that probably have the one thing in common where they're like, we want to know what it's like to kill someone. It doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah, it's Sunday night. We've been smoking meth all day. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Oh, hey there, campers. We noticed you've gathered around our mystical campfire and are probably wondering why you're here.
Well, our campfire is known to draw in people, cryptids, and creatures from all around the world. That's because each episode we discuss the history, sightings, pop culture representation, and more about different folklore and cryptids right around this campfire.
Take a seat, get cozy, and listen to our comedy podcast, Alloring Today, anywhere podcasts are heard.
Or go to our website, alloring.com. That is alloreing.com.
All right, next story.
Okay. All right. So the next story is from a user whose username has also been deleted. And it goes like this. About 2 years ago, I was driving home from a family reunion pretty late at night, and the drive was about 2 hours. I didn't stay the night because I had to be back at work the following day. Most of the drive was on roads with dense bushes and trees on either side. The real creepy ones you see a lot in movies. Anyway, I'd been driving about 45 minutes and I was starting to get really tired. You know how sometimes you just suddenly become really tired out of nowhere? Well, yeah, that happened to me. I knew I wasn't going to last, but I didn't come across any place that I felt I could park and safely sleep. Anyway, after it became clear to me that I wasn't going to find a place to pull up and my tiredness wasn't going away, I did something very questionable. I pulled over to the side of the road onto the grass behind some bushes to try and hide my car from anybody else who was going to come past. The roads weren't empty. I came across another car every few minutes or so. I made a mental note that the time was 11:22 and then fell asleep. Sometime later, I was awoken by a scratching sound. I looked at the clock, 11:50. The sound stopped after a few seconds, and because I was still extremely tired, I didn't bother looking around and simply went back to sleep. I was later awoken by the same sound, and it was now 12:40. This time, it really freaked me out because the sound didn't stop. The thought ran across my mind that it was just an animal inspecting the car, but why would it return almost an hour after it had left the previous time? I looked in my rearview mirror and just managed to catch a glimpse of something running away into the forest. Now, at the time, I thought it was the damn hook killer. You know, the one that scratched that couple's car and then slaughtered the guy when he got out to investigate?
What?
I've never heard of this.
No, me neither.
Fuck that, I thought to myself. So I got the hell out of there. There was a bend no more than 100 yards up the road, and as I came around it, there was a fucking car parked off the side of the road with the driver's side door opened. I slowed down just to look to see if anyone was in there. There wasn't. Then I looked in my rearview mirror. I didn't see anything. And all of a sudden, this guy comes sprinting around the corner. He starts screaming at me, shouting stuff like, hey you, get the fuck out of your car now. I noped the fuck out of there and sped off. I never saw the guy again. Moral of the story, don't fucking sleep on the side of a deserted road.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
That's creepy as balls.
Yeah.
My old job used to entail a lot of driving, and I would like do stupidly long shifts and then just think I could drive for 6 or 8 hours like straight after it. And one time I woke up drifting through a red light in like this, it was a one light town. And thankfully the dude, I had someone with me in the truck this one time, and he woke up as we were veering off the road. And he was like, hey, man, you all right? And I was like, yep, fine. Absolutely fine. But yeah, I've stopped at those kind of creepy ass places.
Sketchy
like,
places.
Yeah, and if anything, it served just to wake me up and be like, yeah, I can't stay here and keep going.
Yeah.
Fuck all that. All right, this next story is actually a glitch in the Matrix story.
Nice.
All right, so this is by username Sock Tacos. Went to bed sick, woke up feeling fine, but my daughter's favorite toy changed colors. I think I died.
What? That sounds like a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah. Hey guys, weird happening here. About 2 weeks ago, I was feeling off, like I was going to have a heart attack or going to pass out or throw up. I don't have insurance at the moment, so I decided I would just sleep it off. My daughter's favorite toy was on the couch and I came out of the living room. It is a blue dinosaur plushie. She takes it everywhere with her. Well, I scooted it over on the couch and started watching TV, hoping I would pass out. And I grabbed her toy and had it in my hands to distract me. I eventually fell asleep and woke up the next day. My girlfriend and kid were gone, and I got up to go get some water. I looked down at the floor and thought, oh shit, she forgot her toy, she's going to have a fit. Then it hit me. Instead of the dark blue toy that I see all the time, it was bright green. I know I'm not crazy, she's had it for a year now, and when I had asked what she should name it, I even said she should name it Blue.
Mm-hmm.
She throws a fit about the toy constantly and says, I want my blue dinosaur, I want my blue dinosaur, so I know for a motherfucking fact this thing was blue. I thought maybe she had a second dinosaur similar, and I'm not crazy. Then my girlfriend calls me, asking if her toy was still at home. I asked, the blue dinosaur? And she replied, no, the green one that she has all the time. I said, well, what about the blue one? To which she responded, there is no blue one. What are you talking about?
The fuck?
My head started to spin. I started reading online about theories on our consciousness traveling to another dimension when we die because I admit I was having a bit of death anxiety after that night. I usually have panic attacks or anxiety, but this was way different. Anyways, I started looking into theories about souls and consciousness and came across that one and how it lays within the parameters of infinite universes and small things in people's lives changing after an accident, near-death experience, etc. I'm not convinced I died, but something weird definitely happened that night. And now I have this bright green dinosaur making me question everything I know. Edit. For clarification, I have not had COVID recently. I don't have any gas in my home. My water heater is gas, but it's outside in a closed area. And I have a CO2 detector in my apartment, so I think I'm solid regarding that. I don't take any medications or anything of the sort.
Whoa. That's so weird.
That's like one of the trippiest things ever.
That's so scary though, to think like if a small detail can change when you wake up, then is it possible for a larger change in your life to change? Calm, like. Yeah, and then now you just have to adapt and that is your normal. You know what I mean?
So fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And again, I feel like every time we do something like this, every story ends up like picking itself forth, because this is one thing that I have constantly, like, you know, when you're just driving down the road and like your thoughts wander or whatever, I'm always like, what if a past version of me was supposed to die when I merged lanes here or something, like, you know what I mean? Or like this truck actually took me out and now I'm just on a different course.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm a firm believer of glitches in the Matrix. And then like when people catch it on video, it just reaffirms for me. Like that one Nukes video of that dog who was chasing that kid. And as he turned the corner,
it comes out from the other
side. It comes like a full, like a foot and a half away from where he should have shown up. You know, he just like materialized.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
No, and it's things like that that I just have to not read into because it will fuck my head up.
Yeah.
I just have to choose to ignore it. I mean, like, green dinosaur, fuck it, it's a green dinosaur now.
Yeah, and it's always been a green dinosaur.
Yeah. I do have one small little one. Do you have another one before we... That's it? Okay, so this one just sounds nice. It's from username Stay Away From They. My dead cousin has been commanding Google Home to play some of her favorite songs.
Interesting.
My cousin, 14 years old, just passed away a couple of weeks ago. That's really sad. I was very close to her, and we play music on my speaker. Last week, I was chilling in the living room, and out of nowhere, the TV screen got turned on and went to Hulu under her profile name. No one had the remote. We've been looking for the remote for days. And fast forward a couple days later, I was laying in my bed, and out of nowhere, Google Home started playing some of her favorite songs, three songs back to back. I'm freaking out. Never experienced shit like this in my entire life. What do you guys think? Is she trying to send me a message or trying to freak me out? A few days before she dies, we watched two Paranormal Activity movies, and she always tried to scare me. I just think that's really sweet. I think even if she is trying to scare you, it's a funny, cute way of trying to scare you. You know what I mean?
Like, you already know that she does this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that, I feel like that's okay. Like, it's not a bad thing. Like, she's trying to be mean because that's just in her behavior.
But if it
was like, I don't know, like someone who just was no nonsense and then that shit started happening, then I'd be more inclined to believe, like, maybe it's not that person.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean? Maybe something else is trying to fuck with you.
Yeah, I feel like it's most definitely a sign of her just being like, ah, I got you.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm still here. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. It's cool. I'll scare you, but not too bad.
Yeah.
Here's a really good song.
Yeah. And with that, make sure to go and check out the Alluring podcast. We had their promo in the middle of this episode. And I think that's about it. Every week I feel like I say, next week we're gonna have this and this, but I actually should have a pretty non-busy week this week, so
yeah,
we should be able to get into some good old ooky spooky fucking deep dives very soon.
And
thanks for listening to us all. Don't forget to rate and review us on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen. Give us a nice review. Send us your ghost stories. We want more ghost stories, creepy encounter stories.
Why aren't you sending us your ghost stories?
I have yet to meet anybody or talk to anybody who has or thinks that they have seen a Bigfoot or something of those along those lines. Tell us your fucking stories, people. All right.
Does your cat have like zero hair? Let us know.
I mean, it might just be a hairless cat.
I know, but I want to know about it.
Okay, if you have a chicken fillet with legs, let us know.
They're so cute.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.